Hello.
Hello, Carson. Welcome to the Hype Sports Innovation Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm very well.
Terry, right? I'm speaking to Terry.
Yeah, that's me, Terry.
Yeah, good to hear from you, man. How's everything going?
Everything's well. Just another evening here in Tel Aviv. It's good to be able to catch you at the right time. Obviously, time zone differences are not friendly for the two of us, but we've made it work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we did.
Yeah, for sure. And mates, we're going to get through a few bits and pieces here about fan food. I think the first time we came into contact was probably nearly 2 years ago now. I remember you were one of the original companies that I had sort of researched when I first moved to Israel. And, you know, you've come a long way. And I remember you were obviously a part of the top 50 program back then, and you're well and truly graduated and moved on, and now you're you've got some exciting news and things are happening. So
yeah,
how is your world? What's happening with you?
It's the world's great. I can't complain too much. Just like you said, exciting times over here at Fan Food. Found an amazing partner, strategic as well, to help us with our funding round, and really like to take the Fan Food to the next level, right? And really help change the game of the in-venue experience. So we're truly fortunate, and with it comes new opportunities, to really build out, now that we have the resources to do so, build out something pretty cool for sports fans. So I'm really excited.
No doubt about it. And let's take one step back, because obviously I'm very familiar with Fan Food. You're even more familiar with Fan Food. But for those who are listening who might not be, give us a little bit of an elevator pitch.
Yeah. Well, as a diehard sports fan, doesn't matter where you are at in the world, I think all sports fans can attest to the problem that or the frustration. Nothing's more frustrating than missing a big play because you were stuck waiting in a line for a beer or hot dog, right? And so what we built at Fan Food is an app that keeps those diehard sports fans in the moment, keeps them focused on not missing the action. Allows them to order concessions, merchandise, food and beverage, what have you, on our app. And they can either get it delivered directly to their seat, or they could order it ahead for express pickup lines. And we're really focusing on this whole in-stadium mobile ordering user experience, making it seamless for the users to place an order as quick as possible. And keep them focused on the big action. So that's what we're doing. It's the quick elevator pitch. How'd I do?
You did great. You did great. And what I like to do on the podcast is talk about, that light bulb moment. And I mean, I'm thinking of what mine would be if I had been in your situation. And you've brought back memories of certain games and finals that I'd been to in Australia, at the footy. And, you get to the stadium a little bit late, you line up for your drinks, you miss the first 5 minutes, you miss a goal or two. Was it literally just something like that that happened that sort of made you guys tick? Or what was that moment?
Yeah, it's not as exciting as what people probably expect it to be. I actually was... I was complaining about a crappy experience I was having with some of my college buddies at a local sports bar, super crowded. And I remember telling them, I said, guys, wouldn't it be great instead of, us having to navigate through this crowded bar, if I could order a drink off my phone and have a server bring it to us rather than wait in a long, annoying line. That's kind of the aha moment. I got very involved in the entrepreneurial landscape at the university that I went to, treated Fan Food as more of an extracurricular project at time. I pivoted to sports and live entertainment for a hand for for a couple of reasons. And I think like all comes down to market timing. The competitors in the space at the time weren't doing it the way that I thought or felt that, you know, it truly deserved. They weren't executing on it successfully. And I think that, you know, it, for that reason alone, I felt that that was an opportunity. I think the online and mobile ordering was growing pretty rapidly. So back in 2012, we have Grubhub go IPO, have an IPO, which was pretty big. And you see tons of growth going on in the restaurant space, but yet it remained that, you know, fans still had to wait 20 minutes in line to get what they wanted, and they paid a lot of money to be there. So I think it was the number one problem. And as a fan, if you go to a sporting events, and it still wasn't solved yet. So I think the technology was catching up. And so we, you know, spent the first few years really understanding the market, really understanding what made us different. Why is fan food going to be primed to be successful? And, you know, got linked up with some of the right people, got involved with, you know, organizations like you, like the one, yours, the ones that we're talking about, mm-hmm. learned a lot. And, you know, I think that's what presented the opportunity. And I think, you know, it's like, I'm a diehard sports fan. I'm not going to say I'm not. I think, you know, some of my fondest moments growing up, my dad, he, you know, helped build our technology early on. He's built and exited two software companies. So as you can imagine, I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with him growing up. And when I did, it was often at sporting events, right? So I think some of my fondest memories are shared at a sporting event with my dad. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that, right? Like, and that's really why our mission at Fan Food is to help deliver more memorable experiences like the one that I had with my dad, and like the ones that any other fan can resonate with. Everyone has their own story. And we want to make sure that they have more of those stories and not ones stuck waiting in lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just turning the focus to the journey, I guess, what are, you know, obviously there's ebbs and flows, and I'm sure you've had a lot of them along the way, but what are some of the biggest challenges you've had, and what are some of the biggest triumphs you've had, I guess, by the same token?
Triumphs. So we got started. There's a lot for every triumph. There's two challenges. So as an entrepreneur, you solve one problem and two more pop up, and the entrepreneurs that win just keep solving, mm-hmm. and they keep innovating and they keep adapting. So it's, and talk about the triumphs. The first one was building our MVP app. That was an amazing, especially because I'm not a technical co-founder. I got with the help of my dad and our university professor, we were able to get something up, but we rolled it out. So we got an app working, which was great. It worked. We rolled it out at my partner's high school, which was fantastic. That hit my partner's high school. It gave him an opportunity to roll it out. We got our first Major League Soccer partner. I think some of our early adopters, right? Our first 5-10 stadiums in different sports verticals are all triumphs. Closing this funding round was a huge triumph. You know, we've had some awesome investors and advisors that those are all triumphs to me. And I think for challenges, there's a ton of them. There's more challenges than I would care to say. I think, you know, early stage startup, you know, building traction is always hard, especially in the sports industry. Selling to sports stadiums with sales cycles that could be anywhere between 14 days to seemingly 14 years. That makes it challenging. Cash flow is always a concern. Taking care of your employees and, you know, your team, ensuring that, you know, that they're being taken care of. I mean, it's, yeah, it is.
Are there any that stand out to you? I mean, obviously you've been around for, you know, a considerable amount of time now, but are there any moments when you look back and you think to yourself, oh, gee, that was nearly the end there?
Yeah, that was like a frequent occurrence. I mean, it's funny because, like, now that we've closed this, like, this is our first, like, institutional round. And now that we have, you know, the runway to be able to execute on our vision, I think back and I'm like, how the hell did I just do this for the last, like, 3 years? And, like, I think that was, like, almost like a common, like, theme. You know, we would, you know, we'd raise money from, like, angel investors and stuff, and we'd pitch in and we would invest it into the technology, and then we would test some of that technology and we would test different business models, and we learned you know, what to do, what not to do, what we should be doing, from, you know, how do we enhance this product to really provide a better fan experience. So we learned all of those things, and now we have this opportunity to do so. And you know, I wouldn't say there's any like specific moments, right? I mean, there's some funny stories. Like one of them, I accidentally canceled this subscription because I didn't know what it was. But little do I know, it was the authentication for allowing fans to log into our app. And so, this was like, we were rolling out at one of our stadiums like that day, and my dad was like, "You're an idiot," and so we crisis. We still got it back up in time, but I mean, there's a lot of like oopsie type moments that have happened, and just really fortunate to get to where we are here today.
For sure. Yeah, and I mean, obviously the news, you know, the recent news, you've acquired a new partner, if you will, the Chicago-based sports tech media and marketing firm called Phoenix Sport Partners. So give us a little bit of insight into that and what that means for you, I guess, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, so in the sports industry, like, relationships are so critical. And it's something I think that makes the industry a little bit different than a lot of other ones. And these Phoenix Sports Partners comes to the table with those relationships, right? Like, they've been in the world of sports for 20, 30 plus years. They've been doing it. And to be able to have a partner that has those relationships and that's bought into what we're doing at FanFood is like truly remarkable. And they're newer. They've been under the radar for a little bit because they wanted to invest in the companies that all have that could all help each other, which I also love, right? Like, so it's not just any of the existing portfolio companies, there's some overlapping synergies that allow us to help each other scale up. And I think that's like kind of special. So you have relationship, you have, you know, dozens of years of relationships that have been built up and established in the sports industry, combined with technologies that complement each other, with a similar go-to-market focus and thesis. And I think, like, You combined all of those and, you know, you're really primed for success. And it's something that's like sticks with me and them is I feel like we're kind of getting accelerated a little bit. Years into the future. So like where we could be, you know, let's say in 2 years from now, I feel like we're getting that opportunity, you know, this month. You know, we're just getting accelerated and you know, the last piece to the partnership is that they're very hands-on, which I'm really fortunate about. So yep. they're helping us with our go-to-market strategy. They're helping us with our marketing and our sales tactics. They're helping us with our product roadmap, and they're ensuring that it's complementing to the other portfolio companies. So those like three kind of different pillars, if you will, make it like an ideal partnership. And for me as the entrepreneur, it's unbelievable, right? To get to that, the opportunity to now grow the business how we want it and execute on our vision is something that's really exciting.
For sure. But what does that do for your mindset? Because obviously, I mean, we've spoken about how you sort of sink or swim for the last few years. You weren't, there's a lot of uncertainty. Does this sort of give you certainty in the fact that you have, the relief maybe financially in some aspects, or does it add pressure in other areas in the sense that, okay, I've got a partner now. I need to make sure I'm hitting my targets. I need to make sure that I'm executing. Tell me a little bit about what that means for you and the mindset.
The mindset. Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, yes, you're 100% right. Both. Pressure. Is there a lot more pressure? Yes, absolutely. And I think like in the market, people have criticized in Stadia mobile ordering for a couple different reasons. One, that it's hasn't really got the traction. It's failed a couple different times. The logistics, the execution of it's developed kind of this bad taste. No pun intended. And they say fans don't like to download apps, and they say that we need to make it more frictionless. And I respectfully, I kind of disagree in some regards. And getting this funding was super validating, because people agree with what I believed. I believe that in-stadium mobile ordering never was given the user experience that fans quite frankly deserved. And I think it's and it was overlooked too. And I think that half the industry believes that the problem couldn't be solved, and I think half the industry thinks that it can be solved. And I think now that we have the opportunity, the pressure is there to go out and actually prove it, right? Which it's long hours now, I'll say. But I'm excited for me personally, like as an entrepreneur, to get the mindset is more about, all right, let's go out and let's get this, let's actually execute on this strategy, and let's bring it to life. And so now now I get to build the right team with, find people who are smarter than me or a little bit more specialized in their respective crafts, and help us take it to the next level. And I think it's, now it's people, you talk about the 100-hour work week. I feel like I'm working a lot more than I ever have in my life, and not because I have to. Well, I probably should. I definitely have to, but because I also want to. It's like now that we have this opportunity, and yeah, the pressure's there, but we've worked so hard to get to this point. How could you not want to work 100 hours is kind of my response when people ask me that. So I think it is pressure, but it's exciting pressure,
Well, that's what you're in the game for, really, isn't it? You want that pressure. You want to test yourself. You want to see what you're capable of. So yeah, I have no doubt that this is just another step forward in the journey. And I want to congratulate you and acknowledge you for where you are at the moment. But obviously, give you a pat on the back. But also, you never want to get too complacent. So there's always more to do. But thank you very much for joining the show. And
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to getting some more updates from you.
Absolutely, Terry. Thank you for having me.